This is The Takeaway. I'm John Huckenberry. The line just got shorter, but you probably didn't notice it at your airport security checkpoint. They pulled somebody out of the line yesterday. The Transportation Security Administration replaced its top security official, blamed for all the long lines, Kelly Hogan, who had been the assistant administrator for the Office of Security Operations. But the wait times signify care in screening passengers, right? 3 hours in Chicago? Waits at New York's JFK Airport up 80% from last year. Many airports are trying to deal with this by hiring private security contractors to make up for a 10% decrease in employees since 2013, even though air travel is up some 12%. How much of the troubles at the TSA signify that the whole approach to aviation security has not kept up with changing technology, the changing nature of threats, or the realistic probabilities that an airplane will be a target, even given the Egyptair disaster investigators are looking at this week? Bruce Schneier, a security technologist and author, says a whole new approach is in order.
Firings seem to be based on the fact that there are a lot of complaints and heads need to roll. Whether this will be changes or not remains to be seen. I mean, we're really just reading tea leaves at this point. So it's really hard for me to see what's going to happen. I think we do need some changes, and we'll see if Congress is willing to make them, if the TSA is willing to make them.
What about this front-end security and the way the United States has dealt with it in airline safety?
You know, it's a good question, and we want to separate two things here. One is whether the TSA is doing things right, and that has to do with the lines and the checkpoints and who's where and the staffing. And the other is what you asked, are they doing the right things? I think it's a real conversation to have, whether airport security is effective, what sorts of security we need in our country. But it's a very different sort of conversation and a hard one for us to have. My feeling is the TSA hasn't been doing the right things for a long time. Doing things right is really a matter of budget, and their budget's been cut. So we really have both problems to deal with, and they're very separate.
Given that the changes in the protocols there at the airport have been determined by, in many cases, you know, crimes that were about to be committed, the shoe bomber, and then now everyone's taking their shoes off, the liquid bomb assembly that was being done in Denver and was on its way to some airport somewhere, and they caught it in time, thank God. But that forced a change in everybody having to get rid of their liquids. Are you confident that the TSA is anticipating what's going to happen as opposed to waiting until something almost does?
Of course not. And that litany is an example of that. There's a shoe bomber, we take off our shoes. Liquid bomber, we screen liquids. Underwear bomber, we have full body scanners. I mean, all of those things are reactive. And that's why it doesn't really work. The goal isn't to protect what the terrorists did last week, but to anticipate what they do next week. And the liquid bomber is a good example of that, because they were caught in London in their apartments before they got to the airport. They picked a plot designed to get through airport security. And they were caught through investigation intelligence having nothing to do with airport security. And that's really where we have our successes in this country too. You know, we don't catch stuff at airports. Airport security is the last line of defense and not a very good one. The best things we do are the things that don't try to guess the plot, the tactic, the target correctly.
What is the biggest security vulnerability at an airport? Is it at the front end, or is it somewhere else?
You know, that's a really hard question to answer, because you don't care about the biggest. You care what are the vulnerabilities. I mean, if you are a bomber, what you want is a lot of people packed tightly together. And they exist just as much inside the airport as outside the airport on the security lines. I mean, we don't want bombs to get on airplanes because they have a special failure mode. Right? A small bomb takes down the plane, everyone dies. But if you think of all the places where people gather together packed relatively tightly, shopping malls, supermarkets, stadiums, theaters, we can just go on and on and on, you can't possibly ever protect them all. Even a country like Israel can't. So you just have to do the difference that makes airplanes more attractive targets. And then you have to realize that you're going to have to stop these people before they get to the location. You know, I'm in Boston right now, the finish line of the Boston Marathon. Another place where people were packed tightly together that we never even thought of before.
And again, the response reactive. I guess I'm wondering if any of these soft targets of transportation facilities are adequately being looked at, and that the TSA is a holdover from 9/11 that was really, really important at one moment, but maybe has evolved past its usefulness in the way that we really, really need for the future.
I mean, that's largely true. The TSA was a reaction to the tactic of the moment. And while I don't say abolish the TSA, I think we should ratchet airport security back down to pre-9/11 levels. I mean, a lot of tests have shown that the TSA misses 70% of guns, 80%, I mean, crazy numbers. And you look at that and you say, wow, the TSA isn't really good at detecting these things. But then you have to say, well, then why aren't planes falling out of the sky? And the reason is there's nothing to detect. There aren't these terrorists coming through with guns and bombs and our only defense is the TSA. It turns out there are almost no terrorists. Most of them are kind of dumb, and they're not doing these sorts of plots. So while we need airport security, I think we do need to back off and look at what the actual threats are these days.
How do you back off without eliminating the TSA and terrifying everyone, making them full of anxiety going to the airport?
Well, this is actually hard because it's not just the anxiety of the people. It's the anxiety of the elected officials. If you are Congress and you say, oh, we don't need this, we're going to reduce the security requirements, we're going to go back down to pre-9/11 levels of security, and you get it wrong, you're out of job. It is always in the best interest to exaggerate the threats. So we're kind of stuck in a loop. We have to back off slowly, and you see us doing that somewhat with PreCheck. You know, PreCheck is very much pre-9/11 security if you're on the list. We're seeing much fewer liquid detections. Those rules are kind of backing off. You know, shoes are still being screened, but not as much. So slowly it's happening. But this is very difficult because, you're right, people might get anxious, and elected officials are scared for their careers if they make the wrong guess.
Is this a money problem that can be solved with increased funds, like, for instance, $7.6 billion that the president wants to give to the TSA for next year?
So certainly the doing things right problem can. Now, we've been discussing, are we doing the right things? But the doing things right, the lines at the airport, the delays, that is 100% caused by not enough money for agents and lines. We increase their budget, we will have fewer delays at the airport. You know, it's not going to solve what we're talking about, but it will make all of our experiences better when we get to the airport.
So shorter lines has nothing to do with security?
It doesn't. They're different criteria, right? The shortness of the line is how many people can a checkpoint process per hour. Security is what they're doing. Now, certainly if we backed off on requirements, we might get through faster. But, you know, you look at airport security checkpoints, people go through pretty fast. I don't think it really is we need to move people through a particular line faster. We need more lines.
What's a Schneier airport check? If I were to come to, you know, Schneier International Airport, what would get checked on me?
So we would send you through a magnetometer, because you might be carrying something, and we'll screen your luggage. Now, airport security catches the baseline terrorist, the one who's going to do something stupid. And we need to catch those people. The experts, like the liquid bomber or the underwear bomber, they're going to do things that are designed to get through airport security. I need to catch them some other way. I'm not going to get them at the airport. So redesign airport security to catch, you know, the random nut jobs, and then we'll be doing well.
Comfortable flyer, Bruce?
I think so. I have no trouble, but certainly we need to actually tell people what the risks are. We've spent a decade and a half convincing people they need to be scared of terrorism, you know, which kills so few people that if it wasn't for all the hype, we would never think about worrying about it. And again, this is hard because we've built domestic policies and foreign policies, and there's a lot of money in overhyping this threat.
Bruce Schneier rhymes with, what did you say?
Frequent flyer.
There you go. Security technologist and author. Thanks so much, Bruce.
Thank you.
I don't know if Bruce made you nervous or reassured you there, but has the TSA made air travel safer from your perspective, or is it just a show to make us feel safer? Chicago, Illinois, neither. They are understaffed, which has led to all this backup, especially considering the recent attack in Brussels. Having such long lines pouring out into publicly accessible areas poses more of a threat to passengers.
This is Laura from Cleveland, Ohio, and I think that the TSA needs to pay more attention to the back door rather than put all the attention on the travelers or the front door. There needs to be increased scrutiny of the luggage loaders and others working behind the scene rather than all the onus being put on the travelers.
Sharon Green from Wareham. I think the safer we feel and the safer it gets, the cleverer the terrorists will get. It's a matter of time before they start using people as a biological weapon. It doesn't take much to put a sick person with measles or something worse on a plane, or a bottle of baby powder filled with like anthrax or something even worse and just aspirate it into the air. The explosions don't always have to be the only type of terror there is.
Sharon, you need to stop thinking. You really need to just sit down, have some coffee, think about something else. LaGrange, Illinois. As an employee of Midway Airport in Chicago, I once rode an elevator with two TSA employees, one of whom pulled a pair of cuticle scissors out of her pocket, remarking they were outlawed beyond the gates of the airport. We were beyond the gates. Why she would carry a potential weapon into her job as a security guard?
This is John from Tampa, Florida. I believe the actions taken by the TSA have made it safer to fly, but there are still more to be done, like no carry-ons, scan all bags in the cargo holds, design a plane with no access to the pilots, and full body scans for all the passengers.
This is Tyler from Malden, Massachusetts. They've been around since November 2001, and they haven't stopped a single terrorist since that time. More terrorists have been stopped by passengers, obviously, than they have been the TSA. So I think that if you haven't looked into it, you think they're making it safer when really they're not.
Carrollton, Ohio, there are many areas of flight prep that are not watched closely enough, and yet the travelers are targeted for scrutiny. I agree with doing a passenger check-in in principle, but now that we are forced to take care of our own luggage, the check time is ridiculous. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or comment at facebook.com/thetakeaway. Maybe some of you should go work for the TSA. I think that'd be a great idea.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.